Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will see powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
A very warm welcome to our listeners to Walking Between the Worlds. And today we're going to explore the realms of dragons. For thousands of years, mystics have had close relationships with dragons. They're depicted on ancient murals and artifacts from Peru all the way to China, as well as many other countries. Dragons have fascinated us throughout the ages. Now we are going to take a look at the secret guarded by some of the most ancient groups of dragons, the truth about twitches, beings that look a lot like dragons but that are actually from a different evolutionary line, and the secret of the goddess guarded by the twitches, and much more. We are so glad you could join us. Now, dragons are brilliant, and they're very duty-oriented within a world of impeccability and protocol. Dragons have been taught great pride in the abilities of their race. To quote the words of the dragon that is a very, very dear friend and lies cold around my house, called the Beautiful One, when I asked her to tell me a little bit more about the twitches, she said, "They look like dragons, but don't have the same intelligence," which, incidentally, I cannot say that I have found, but that was her opinion. "They come from a distant star system through the inner Earth. Almost every large cave has one in it. They like to be dragons, but then, who wouldn't?" As you can see, they're very proud of their race. There are currently 110,000 dragons that have their world among and yet apart from us, ruled by a two-year-old dragon with whom I've become friends, and he's a master in that he's lost his ego. He is in a place of what we would call God consciousness. In other words, masters identify with the whole, not with the body and the mind. He is known simply as the dragon. And I'm always amazed at his ability to rapidly come from his world to visit. It takes him about 1/2 an hour, while other dragons take 3 or 4 days, depending on how much magical power they have. We have been on an ascension, as many of the guests that have come upon on the show to speak with you have told you about, that since February of 2005, the Earth has moved up, up, up through levels of consciousness, which is why so many of the doomsday prophecies just haven't happened. Well, we passed through the sun, as all civilizations do that ascend. It's just that this time the Earth actually went through as well. And at that point, the hologram around the Earth was kept, so we didn't even know, you know, as we went to work and paid our bills, that anything had changed. But when we passed through the sun on our journey of ascension, we encountered other dragons with a different language. They have not accompanied the Earth. So in other words, there are still some dragons that live in the sun. And the sun at higher levels looks like a planet. It's just that at this level, it looks like fire. Although 51% of the races of the cosmos are dragons, the following information that I'm going to give you now applies to the dragons of the Earth, because they're different from planet to planet. According to them, dragons have inhabited the Earth for 3.127 million years. Since they've been here, 818 waves of civilizations, different races of man and other beings, have lived on the Earth. So, for instance, the natives of America, the Native Americans that I very much lived amongst for about 5 years, speak about what Sasquatch — they don't call him that, they say that's insulting, it's Bigfoot — but that he's left over from one of the waves of civilizations that previously multiplied and inhabited the Earth as a primary race. So, dragons are very colorful, and their color choices, based on what pleases them, are their distinguishing features. When you ask their name, they give you their colors, which they occasionally change. The foods I have found to be their favorites are tulips, also used in tulips and beeswax tea. The dragon, my friend, likes the pink ones the best, and when it's his birthday, I always have pink ones taken to him by the little fairies that are my friends. Mice and garlic stew, of all things, and various dishes cooked with horses. Ghost horses are very plentiful, and the dragons I work with cook these. They can, however, produce food with thought. And I know about the garlic and the mice stew because I came in to my kitchen one morning and it absolutely reeked of garlic. And so I was told at that time that beautiful one had made the mice and garlic stew. Now, injuries can occur as in humans, but it's not irregularly. The one known as Black has had a broken tail, and the one that I have worked with briefly, which is a yellow one, I called her Daisy, had an injured back and can now hardly carry anything. It is, however, disease that frightens them. They very seldom get sick, and when they do, it's often fatal. They seldom catch cold, for example, and are therefore not well equipped to deal with the condition. There's a record kept where dragons can go to get help when they're sick. Four human names are listed in it as people who know how to heal dragons, and my own was just added a year or so ago when I healed the beautiful one of measles. I find dragons to be superb healers. They dematerialize tumors and do the most amazing healing surgeries on humans. I was very surprised to find they didn't trust being healed by other dragons as much as I do. When I asked the dragon what should be done when the beautiful one got the measles and claimed she was dying, he said, "Please, no dragon healers. You can heal her and I'll bring some blue tea. Tell her to stop thinking about dying." She actually responded quite quickly to the healing, even though she hated the tea. Dragons get embarrassed very quickly when you praise them publicly, and their feelings get hurt when you in any way imply they need help performing their duties. The beautiful one is 8,000 years old, young, but mature. A dragon of, for example, 40,000 years is considered old, and one of 25,000 years is aging. We do not understand the human function of laughter. The powerful one had said to me, and powerful one is a second dragon that I requested because I had so much work to do, and beautiful one didn't want to do anything other than just guard me and mine in the house. But during the Earth's ascension, they had started to use their feeling bodies because they were told by the goddess to do that or they would perish. And now we hear them laughing and even crying. Now, sneezing, however, is a different story. The beautiful one, the one who protects my home, approached me in a very bashful manner. Could I possibly build a fire with a lot of smoke for her to inhale? She needed to sneeze. I said, okay, I'll just do it in my fireplace because she's one level up. She can just stick her head through the wall. But no, she couldn't do that because the flames would shoot up 18 feet. So finally, with a sneeze that shook the house, we reached our goal. I had built the fire out on the lawn. Days later, when I asked whether she could feel how much I loved her, she said she could tell because of the trouble I went through to help her sneeze. Now, dragons don't build buildings or need instruments of any kind. They live in nature, and they materialize their needs with thought. Their food is cooked by thought, and their ability to breathe fire, as ancient drawings show, is used for protective purposes only. When we come back, we will have the Master Genie and Bert, and they will tell us exactly what feeling bodies are. Join us then.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Almeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Almeen as your Toltec guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Almeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Thank you to all our listeners for joining us again. And as we were telling you, the Earth has been in a massive ascension, as has the cosmos. Many of our guests have referred to this and told us about it. Well, during 2005, it became essential that all beings in the cosmos have feeling bodies, so Mother gave those that did not feeling bodies, and that they use them. Now, although dragons had feeling bodies, or at least they had the necessary fields, the fields weren't spinning appropriately due to lack of use. Other beings in the cosmos, however, didn't have all the fields, which was vital for their survival during this cosmic ascension. Now, around the bodies of beings like us that can feel, there are certain fields and geometric shapes that get progressively larger. We have on the line with us today the Master Bert and his beautiful wife, the Master Jeannie. Welcome to both of you. And I wondered if one of you could please tell us a little bit so that our listeners could understand about the fields that are found around the body of somebody like us. Now, of course, everyone has them. But what are those fields?
Well, first we have the three-star tetrahedron. It's the three-dimensional stars of David, all connected. And one is stationary, one spins clockwise, and one counterclockwise, at a ratio of 34 times for every 21 times for the clockwise spin, and they all occupy the same space. The three octahedrons, which are two four-sided pyramids base to base, just like before, these three occupy the same space with one stationary and two spinning in the opposite directions at a very specific ratios. And these ratios follow the Fibonacci sequence. We have three dodecahedrons, which are 12 pentagons in the shape of a soccer ball, and just like before, they occupy the same space, one being stationary, one spinning left, and one spinning to the right. We have three flower of life spears. Each of the shapes previously mentioned occupy larger and larger areas around the body. Those beings, like the dragons, that chose not to have two stationary fields and one counterclockwise spinning fields. Their fields that should spin clockwise are stationary. In the case of beings that cannot feel, the flower of life spheres have a deformity in the spheres themselves that is seen from the front. The right-hand portion of the spheres are incomplete in each of the three fields.
And may I interrupt for just a second?
Sure.
If I could just explain to our listeners what a flower of life sphere is. If you make circles that are all the same size and you overlap them in a specific pattern inside a sphere, or inside a circle if we're doing it in a flat 2D way, they make little flowers when they overlap and form a little vesica pisces. This is the way that we have a flower of life sphere around the body. And what the Master Bird has just said, in the case of beings like the dragons that previously had chosen not to feel, they had all the fields, but the one that had to spin clockwise, which is the feeling one, was stationary. It didn't spin. Now, the ones that couldn't feel, in the flower of life spheres, only a portion of each of those little spheres that should be overlapping was formed. Did I say that correctly, Bert?
I think so.
Okay, please continue.
Well, to give them the ability to feel, the following steps were taken.
The flower of light spheres had to be completed. In all cases, the clockwise and counterclockwise spinning fields had to spin at the proper ratios. This was done by the angel of the Merkaba, Arahib. They had to be given the necessary endocrine system to produce hormones. This was done by the goddess Panatura. They had to be given the appropriate hormones. This was done by the angel Shatava. The archangel Metatron then had to use the dispersal energy of the violet flame to remove all old patterns that no longer served. The Great One, Ascended Master of the Whales, had to sing in the frequencies of the eight emotions present in a balanced life.
And at the time in 2005, when the races of the cosmos were given the edict by the Mother Goddess, use your feeling bodies or perish, there were only 600 of Lucifer's great hosts left. Many had ceased to be as the cosmos was pulled through previous ascension cycles, but some had made it into various underworlds, which for them was a major evolutionary leap. All remaining had to receive feeling bodies for the further journey of ascension. The entire process took days to accomplish, and we could not go through into the next level before that was complete. Now, let's talk a little bit about the dragon's interaction with humans. Long ago, the folklore of many cultures told of a time when dragons and humans interacted. So I asked the dragons what had changed that. Their answer was very sad. It said, dragons used to show themselves to humans, but humans were continually trying to hurt them. It became necessary for dragons to use their magic to be unseen by the humans. A linguistic bridge was created for man to be able to communicate with dragons. The language was used in written form only to speak to man. Now, dragons, in other words, they don't have it. They're linked telepathically, and they are in contact with dragons in their realms whenever they want to be. When speaking to one another, numbers up to 25 are felt as pressure in different parts of the brain. Beyond that, signs for numbers are telepathically projected at one another. I asked them, since they didn't write, and the beautiful one reminded me very quickly that they don't have fingers, how they store information. And she explained that they created a box into which they put information, and the information is heard when the box is opened. I guess it's a little bit like our tape recorders, but that's not a technique that's unique to dragons. Beings in the unseen realms everywhere use that technique to put their words into a box or a container and have it come out later. So, would one of you tell us a little bit more about dragon physiology? It's a rare opportunity for our guests to have you on the show. You are ascended masters, and even the fact that you're speaking to us on the show, beloved ones, is a great blessing. Tell us about the physiology.
Well, dragons are a highly evolved species with a very distinct feature. All other creatures with vertebrates have four limbs. Dragons have six. They have rear legs with three toes. They have front feet with three toes. And they have wings. They have scales, a bag in the back of the throat that holds a very special gas for their fire breathing. The gas is not naturally produced in their bodies, and the bags have to be filled intentionally. Their tails have varying shapes. Some end with a head like an arrow, and some just taper down to a point. Dragons at times choose to be small, 3 to 5 feet in length. The average size is around 18 feet from nose to tail tip. The dragon is a little over 80 feet in length. The gestation period for their young is 2 years in the womb. They have live births, and they can produce up to 6 babies at a time. On Saturday, October the 8th, 2005, groundbreaking changes within the dragon race were set in motion through the divine intervention of the Creator Goddess. This event signaled crucial changes in dragon females. Mother let them free from the male-engineered bondage and the inequity of the following ways.
They were not previously permitted to have hair. She gave them the right of females to express their looks any way they saw fit. It was illegal for homosexuality to occur amongst females, but legal for males. She made it legal for both sexes. Although Mother had previously declared that females could no longer be forced into marriage, she now gave permission for females who were unhappily married to leave their marriages. The greatest bondage she released, however, was when sexual feeling was restored to females. In the past, sexual stimulation could not be felt in their bodies. It had been genetically engineered out of existence. On Sunday, October the 9th, 2005, during an 11-hour period, Mother gave them back those abilities. When such a large percentage of the cosmos received the sacred gift of sexuality, the entire cosmos rose in frequency.
Tell us also a little bit about their language.
Well, most dragons live in the Asiatic regions, and a slang version of the dragon language has developed, influenced by Chinese. Never spoken by the dragons, though. The language has no future or past tense, only a present tense. They don't conjugate verbs. In other words, it would be as though they were saying, I is, they is, and he is. There are no words for colors. They are seen in the head before the sentence forms.
Frequency is a very important factor. For example, the word I has 101 different dragon words, depending on the frequency. I am happy has a much higher frequency than I am sad. And so a different word for I would be used in each case. Frequency also determines word order, much as in English. Do come here has a more imperative nuance than won't you come here?
Well, you know, could you give us an example, and I will try and do my very best to speak the dragon language, which is definitely substantially easier than speaking the twitch language, which I might just fold on. But the sentences, give us a few sentences that I will then speak the dragon on.
It is pretty.
Et isa krim sayet.
You are pretty, meaning plural.
Ri'i sunis sa'i krim sayeti.
I am tired.
Li tuangma.
They are tired.
Disun utanger.
He is glad.
Usat ru nsto.
And we are glad.
Nstoyan usat.
She is old.
Osoyizat ro osozatin.
You are old.
Risu osoyizat z.
I am hungry.
Adumawe.
Within the earth.
Firma.
I command you to.
And this would be used for young dragons only, which is matum se'a. This is something that is very exciting for me. I love languages, and my listeners might wonder why I so often bring languages onto the show, but it is so respectful to do that, because these beings are extremely proud of their languages, which is ancient beyond belief, and when they give their information, they make sure to give it in their language with then translations. So that is why I've done that. Now, I'd like us to start to talk about a little story, and I'd like to ask Bert to be part of this, or Jeannie. And it was the day the wall came down, and let me just give you a little preamble about that. There was a wall erected when humans continued to injure dragons. And one of the reasons for that was that, if you take the blood of a being that lives for, say, 80,000 years old, and one's lifespan is perhaps only 80 years. If you utilize the blood in a specific way, like if you drink a dragon's blood, it can greatly prolong your life to the point where you will think you will have immortality. When this became known in the olden times, when dragons interacted with humans, that is the reason why Beautiful One told me that they were constantly trying to hurt dragons, and that is why we had to make ourselves unseen. Well, when that happened, there was the necessity to put a barrier up between humans and dragons. Now, that was the first thing that happened, is a wall was built of sorts, a great barrier. But as we fell in consciousness, because, you know, when we could no longer interact with many of these beings, we became more left brain oriented. As we fell in consciousness, is that we fell into a lower realm. The dragons maintained their higher realm. It was not until last year that we ascended back into the realm of the dragons. And at that point, the wall had to come down. Join us after this commercial break, and we will ask one of the masters to explain the day the wall came down.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing science. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the Immortal Master, in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Tota Nagra and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the way shores back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeenjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Creation force of love and light, a goddess is born to banish the need, to awaken the magic of life in its hand, rattling hearts and things to restore. The long run is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. Turn the key that turns the page, and ends the darkness of a bygone age. Farm and elf and sylph delight, at the engine of the dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds, the goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Now back to Elmine.
Welcome back to our listeners to Walking Between the Worlds. Now, before we get the Master Birch and Jeannie to tell us about the day the wall came down, which is the membrane separating the realms between the dragon worlds and our world, I just want to tell you that the benign dynasty that now is with the dragon, this very ascended master that is now governing the dragon world, has not always been. It is very new. And how these dynasties change, and other stories about the dragons, as well as their language and the written language that you can use to communicate to them, please take a look at my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, Mystical Keys to the Unseen Worlds. Now, please tell us about Hai, the dragon, and the day the wall came down.
Well, in the four directions, the dragons represent the warriors in the north, and the humans, the nurturers in the south. The fairies and the elves represent the inner child of the planet in the west, and the ascended masters of all races, the sages, in the direction of the east. Until the 8th of August 2005, there were only four dragon ascended masters. The most senior master is a 75-foot dragon named Hai. Hai had married and lost one wife in his lifetime, but the greatest loss of all was the loss of his mother. When Hai was very small, she had been killed during the night by the old dragon because she had made Hai a purple stuffed toy dragon, and toys were outlawed until recently.
According to the new dragon, Hai had shown very little passion, even for his wife, who yelled at him a lot. The only thing he was absolutely passionate about was when he was given the task of placing a wall between the dragon world and the human world. Having constructed the wall, Hai was therefore also the one who had to break it down, something he was very resistant to doing. But the perfection of the divine plan, created long before any part of existence we are familiar with, had taken this into account and devised a solution. He fell in love with a human ascended master. He was working in England at the time, and his feelings made him so afraid that he went to the dragon world and hid.
The new dragon spent days talking with Hai and asking him to break down the wall. But Hai was convinced that he was broken, and since he'd never felt like this before. But that which is revisited, is resisted, is strengthened, and as Hai's passion for her grew, it shattered the wall on the 5th of August, 2005. For the breaking down of the wall, Hai was blessed with his first child, a boy dragon, carried for him as a favor by a female ascended master dragon. He had a birthday party on the 6th of August, 2005, and it was the greatest of celebrations.
You know, I can hardly contain my laughter.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Sorry, but can you just imagine this huge dragon going and hiding? And as I understand it, where he hid was in the dragon's bed, and the dragon was furious. He spoke to me and he said, "Elmine, can you do something to get this big dragon out of my bed?" He kept saying he's broken because he's in love with a human. But anyway, to continue the story, the fairies brought 100 tulips when it was Hai's birthday. And when I wished him a happy birthday, he said, "The word is fantastic." And apparently, he was driving the expectant mother crazy, hovering over her, watching his baby grow. And in fact, he was sitting on her tail. So she finally demanded that he leave. He then changed himself into a donkey and stood around pretending to be a donkey, but she was onto him and demanded that he leave again. But, you know, the baby at that time would have been the dragon of highest consciousness ever to be born. But tell us about the far-reaching consequences of what happened when this wall came down.
We know that the cosmos is to us everything that is, but the truth is that there is much, much more beyond. Because the Earth is the pivot point, not only for what's inside the cosmos, but also without. When our walls came down, three other cosmoses collapsed into us, changing everything we thought was the future. Millions and millions of lords of light have streamed into our cosmos. like an ejaculation of light into a womb, birthing a much higher form of existence. Millions of goddesses have likewise entered.
Isn't it amazing that the masses on Earth don't know a thing about all of this? But, you know, tell us about the day the unborn children left.
Why, at about 8 p.m. on the 8th of August, 2005, an unprecedented and massive exodus of unborn children began, causing 40 million miscarriages and loss of future children among human babies. The reason was the collapsing of the walls. Would a spirit rather be born to a human mother struggling with a career, diaper rashes, babysitters, and paying bills? Or would it prefer a dragon mother, able to materialize her needs with thought, protect herself, and choose her own destiny?
Dragon females had only recently, as of July 05, been granted the right to marry, and if and whom they chose. Under the new dragon's rule, and after a proclamation by the goddess of creation, that all unwed females would have the right to choose marriages. A mother like that seemed preferable, and furthermore, ascended masters were now for the first time having children. This enticed our unborn to forsake their human mothers for other mothers. By the time the masters had gathered a legion of 60,000 angels to bring them back, over half had left. About 300 were supposed to be given to dragon mothers, but the rest now had to await new pregnancies by human mothers. Since this had never happened before, there weren't any angels assigned to prevent such an experience. But now there are. But what happens on Earth happens in the cosmos. The unformed children in the cosmos are the light babies, the filaments of light that can also leave us for that which has been opened to us, the vast higher realms. An angel has therefore also been placed there as a preventative measure.
Oh, thank you so very much for explaining that. That has been just a wonderful contribution to have both of you on the show. I want to tell our listeners about Twitches, because some of you might have caught dragons on film. And in fact, we have a new website that's under construction, and that should be done. We were actually all together finished. We're just waiting for our merchant services to complete. It should be done in about a week. And you will be able to see a photograph that was taken of a dragon flying above Glastonbury Tor by a very dear friend and student of mine in England. And so we have interdimensional photography as part of the new website. Please keep checking every week. But we will tell you about the Twitches, and many of the photographs taken of dragons are in fact Twitches. They're often mistaken for dragons because of their resemblance. Twitches have been ruled by the dragons in a very repressive way for eons, until the present dragon agreed to allow them to flourish. Twitches lived only one overtone above us when we were in the old three-dimensional Earth before the ascension began. Their primary function, as delegated by the dragon rulers, was to dispose of garbage by eating it. Their magic had been stripped after 12 years of age for so long that eventually they simply automatically lost it at that age. As we raised our realms, we raised the Twitches with us, to make sure they would not in any way become more than the slave race they had once become. The old dragon, that oppressive dragon dynasty, started increasing their humiliation as their frequency rose. Seeking to escape this persecution, they fled to the center of the Earth's moon. But after the new dragon graciously restored their magic on the 30th of June, 2005, they returned to Earth and sent me a message. And I just have a very incomplete translation because of how hard it is for me to understand their language. Sorry, we do not speak. Magic in the night is very pretty. Thank you, friends from now. And the name of the Twitch who translated this is Bar Utra Abau Hei Pa Urla Mav Ni Bish. After the new dragon ruler had agreed to their magic being restored, they had to be properly instructed in its appropriate use. The task was to call in the lords that would instruct them in the impeccable use of their magic. And then there are specific lords for impeccability. I want to just explain to our listeners that magic has strict rules in all the kingdoms. It's only in humanity where it has been very, very badly abused and among some of the gods. But that is why, before getting their magic, they had to know impeccable use of magic. Join us again after this commercial break.
Elmine is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmine as your exalted guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmine on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. And log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Elmine. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Elmine.
Welcome back to our listeners, and we have explained to you the difference between the twitches and the dragons. Now, what I would like to share with you, beloved listeners, is the great secrets that was kept for the goddess by a pocket of twitches, and a small group of twitches, and a small group of dragons that never participated in the fall of life through different realms of density. They stayed at the top of the cycles of the fall, guarding these secrets. This has only been actually released by them in the last month. So it's brand new information. I also want to encourage you to go to my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, Mystical Keys to the Unseen Worlds. A most extraordinary event happened on Earth in 2005, and it was actually the last straw that broke the old dragon dynasty's oppressive rule, and that was when the old dragon ruler insulted the mother goddess of all creation. There was a coronation held on Earth. Star beings from everywhere came to visit, to attend this, of the mother goddess, and the event was so spectacular. The only one that was insulting was the old dragon. And so, you know, after that, the lords of the earth actually deposed him, and there was a rebellion staged that was crushed by Mother and would have been a fulfilling of what was written in Revelations about the old dragon taking a third of the heavens with him. Do read that. It's extremely interesting. The message from the dragons. Trillions of years ago, when the great fall of races began, multiple races fell with Mother into density after density. We stayed in a pocket of space, created by the Mother to safeguard and hide us, while other races of dragons fell with the rest of creation. The small number of us that remained behind did so in service to the Mother. She knew that she would go through deeper and deeper stages of forgetfulness, damaged and surrounded by treachery and ill intent from two goddesses and four gods of darkness, and others that followed their examples. She wanted us to remember certain portions of information for her, for this time when cosmic ascension again brought her and all the cosmos up to our level of existence. Here are the secrets we guarded. And it's written in their language, and then it's translated. I'll just read one sentence in their language. Birinich Trikersk Belesva Subul Ufta Mednavik. In a pocket of space away from the rest, dragons have stood on a lonely quest. Vlispirechnek elisva, klau vrnk klausut vabrsk, guarding the knowledge of how they're formed, cycles of life divided into loops of four. Within each loop, 18 cycles of life to solve the unknown and get it right. By mother designed in case one fails, that one of the others might yet prevail. And to explain this, the 18 cycles of life we have lived in our reality and their history, which will soon be out in a book that is called The Gift of the Unicorns, and it will come out approximately in May or June, will be described later, so it was that book. But the first 9 were descension cycles, and the last 9 were ascension cycles. But these 18 cycles represented one petal of 4 equally large ones, each trillions and trillions of years long. Every creature lived in each of the loop. In other words, each one of us have been living simultaneously multiple lives in 4 other loops of existence. And all of us have had to explore the illusion in multiple different ways. But at the top of each loop, Mother had left a pocket of dragons to tell her about the other petals. The first loop in which she dwelled, as did all of us, to complete its ascension, had to receive the knowledge that the other 3 existed from its pocket of dragons guarding this information. If this was not done, Mother, having gone through much forgetfulness, might not remember them and leave them behind when that loop ascended. Now the Twitches also had a secret that they guarded in a pocket. They're often mistaken for dragons, and the Twitches are an entirely different race in spite of their resemblance. Their language is difficult for me to translate and very hard to pronounce. So unlike the dragons, who have a written language specifically created to communicate with us, the Twitches have no written language. In receiving their communication, I kept seeing a circle with very complex swirls and loops, but when I tried to draw it, it would change. I believe it was a key of some sort to allow me to telepathically receive their information. They too had been entrusted with a sacred mission by Mother. This was to further ensure that no loop got left behind when we reached the top of these cycles of the 4, which where we're at right now. It also created a backup system. In our loop, the dragon leadership became corrupted by gods of illusion after they were no longer hidden. This treachery they already had lying dormant in their hearts. So, in other words, if they became corrupted, the Twitches yet had the information. And their message is like this: we come to tell you our hidden tale in a time when light once more prevails. We serve the goddess throughout all time, keeping her secrets which we did hide. She knew that she would be by dark ones beset, that they would cause her these truths to forget. If she remembered these truths at all, the 4 petals that formed after the fall, she would be told they had come and gone, that there were no others, only the one. Then if this loop ascended to higher realms, 3 loops forgotten, they'd prey upon them. Then we would disclose, when the loops were begun, they lived simultaneously, not one by one. We gave the goddess this guidance pure, that she would remember, we made sure. And now they have joined by the goddess decreed, for them to be 4, there no longer is need. Because they were lower in frequency, it was a shock to us all when we joined with the 3. Feelings arose, we thought, long gone, depression and sadness and anger for some. But new facets and richness of life was gained. Never again would life be the same. You see, in January, it was the last week of January, when our loop had managed to get to the top from whence the whole descension cycle began, and Mother was given this information by the Twitches and by the dragons, she joined the other 3 loops of existence into us. And, you know, we've suffered in those other loops, and suddenly, for those of us that have worked on our own development, these old, familiar, forgotten feelings came back up. And so They are saying, however, that we would gain suddenly new talents, new interests as well. So they write to me further this way. Why is it so that our loop is the one that succeeded to ascend and could overcome? Because each loop was a specific frequency band, representing the four directions known to man. Our loop represents the directions of the north, the others as the other directions came forth. The highest frequency of the four you'll find was us. We represented the principle of mind. In the realms we dwelled before the four began was a place where left and right brain was one. After the four, mind was now split. The four loops, the left brain of the infinite. In other words, when we fell and split into four loops, lived simultaneously as loops of existence, it was like the left brain splitting away from the right brain. And in the left brain, the loop representing mind, which was our loop, could flourish more easily because of its kind. The mother who fell, unlike the one left behind, was more cognitive in her approach, I'm sure you'll find. Better our loop than the others did fare, but we brought them home once we were there. In other words, our success benefited all loops. So, beloved ones, these great loops of existence. Mother knew that as the fall happened, which was engineered through a great mistake made by goddesses many, many levels beyond, but was the result of perpetrators that wanted to control, pretended to be very, very good, but behind the scenes engineered the fall so they could get control. Mother knew that as she fell through levels and levels of density, that she would go into a very, very deep existence of forgetfulness. And even during the ascension, many of her memories would not be gained back. That is why she had left in the kingdoms the most valuable information. And during these last weeks, and in fact the last days, they have been released in pockets of information to the mother, guarded by ancient kingdoms, some we didn't even know we had. Some, like the dragons, have stayed on in myths and fairy tales. The fairy kingdoms have done the same, the merpeople, the giants. But others, like for instance the darklings, which we have spoken about on a previous show called The Forgotten Kingdoms, and the twitches, which few even know existed, were also the bearers of this great, great truth. And so they assisted Mother, and they have gained huge rewards for the task that they have done. Join us next week when we have a fascinating show on Angels Speak to Us. And we will learn how they live, what their purposes are that they have come to fulfill, who are the angels of the throne, and what their lives are like. Join us next week for Angels Speak to Us. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.